powered by passion. It's National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with your host, National Fixed Operations Training Manager, Corey Smith.
Welcome to Fixed Ops 5. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Manager with National Auto Care. Today, I'm being joined by Jared Kilway. Jared, welcome to Fixed Ops 5.
Thank you so much, Corey, for having me. Excited to be here and continue to support and grow the service operations of this ever-growing, changing industry.
Yes, I'm super excited to have you on this episode. The episode is going to be titled Sales to Service Handoff, right? But before we really get into this episode, tell us what company you work for and what is your job title?
Absolutely. So I work for a company called Connect AI. I am the CEO over there, and our main goal is to increase dealer communications to guests, whether it's from, you know, sales or service side, or as we're going to talk about today, a little bit of a mix of both.
I like that. So it's really keeping that communication. And I love the fact that you said guest and not customer, right? Guest makes it more, formal, I guess. Right. That's really interesting. And then can you dive into what the company does as a whole? Is it an online platform? Is it an app?
Yeah. So Connect AI. So we are an AI-based SMS communication platform. So we have integrations into dealer CRMs. Part of our big NADA release here is our, you know, service enhancement operations, as well as the service drive to sales component, which we're going to talk about. So our goals are to connect guests to the dealers at the right time, the right place, but also to be able to support them through the use of AI to help answer some of those frequently asked questions guests may have, to help guide their journey and path, whether to be purchasing a vehicle or selling their vehicle or asking questions about service. And kind of really being that knowledge guidance for the dealership. I know a lot of people right now are talking about, you know, ChatGPT and all these cool things you can do with it. And that is really why I'm here today with Connect AI, is I see the integration opportunity within automotive dealerships and AI utilization being the fastest growing segment here in the next 18 to 24 months for dealerships worldwide.
Man, that's fascinating. I love that. Technology is great. Before we get into this episode, can you tell us a little bit about you, what got you into automotive and how you got to this point in your career?
Yeah, no, it'd be an absolute pleasure. And, in terms of automotive, I've always been that kid growing up that, you know, car drives by, you know, what motor's in it, what kind of car is driving down the street. So I've been absolutely a car nut since as long as I can remember. I actually got into this in college. I was the kid in high school with the big subwoofers in the trunk and, you know, the loud stereos and the fast cars. And that always excited me. So I had worked my way into that. And in college, I actually took some classes at a local tech school while going to the University of Akron. I took some classes to learn about ASE certifications. Took a couple, dipped my toes in the sand per se, and learned quite a bit more about that side of automotive and dealerships and service. And through that, I met a great friend of mine whose family owns a dealership up in Northeast Ohio. And this was dating myself here. This is like the 04, 05 period where internet was still new. Auto Trader was still a paper magazine that you would get at your local 7-Eleven. And I've always had a background of like technology and the new upcoming things and integration. So I was building Angel Fire websites back in high school, which definitely dates myself now, for people as a side hustle to make money. So my friend Eric and I, you know, he was talking about his dad and how dealers are doing websites and they're doing online listings and photos, and they have like emails come in of people that want to buy a car. And that's where I really started to dive into more and more, but in essence, help them build out their digital process strategy e-commerce by, you know, taking photos, responding to leads, and really helping them out. So started through that. And then 2006, I came down here to Southwest Florida to visit a friend of mine who moved down from college, and was just absolutely blown away about how the automotive industry here in Fort Myers, Naples area was just booming. Some of these stores are selling 400 or 500 new cars a month. And, you know, where I come from in Ohio, you know, 100 new cars a month is just an amazing job. So it was really eye-opening. And I had made the decision that I want to be part of this. So I picked up and I moved down here 2 weeks later. And from there, I worked for different dealerships through the times for multiple roles, for internet sales to, you know, BDC director to, you know, secondary finance director and secondary finance through the recession period of 08, and learned a ton during that time frame, to used car management, to general sales manager, and really everything and anything in between. A lot of the stories were like, you're kind of like that Swiss Army knife. You can do a little bit of everything. You know, I could go write service if need be. I could go, you know, swap tires and rotate tires, or, you know, I could go, you know, write up a deal in finance and get it bought and go through the banks and get the guest on the way. So it's been amazing. But now, you know, period path, I had transitioned. I used to work for Vin Solutions on their CRM training side. So I'm familiar with the training side in automotive. Worked for Lexus National Accounts as a consultant for them. So worked with Lexus dealers on digital process, digital strategy, best practices, and help them really grow into the digital age in 2011 through 13. And then in 16, I left and went back to retail. So I was in retail with Germain Automotive as the director of digital operations, you know, for since 16 to just this past almost a year now, when I left and made the decision that, hey, I need to do something else. AI is the new growing piece. There's opportunity, and connected with the team at Connect AI. And here I am a year later.
Man, what a journey. I mean, just saying that like that, I'm just thinking, man, he's a jack of all trades. Truly, you know, you can fix it, break it, write it up, right? Sell it, finance it. I mean, that's incredible. I've never met anybody like you. That's a great story. Thank you for sharing that. And now let's just dive right into this topic that I know you're super passionate about. And during your time in your last retail stint, you really perfected this. So other podcasts that we've talked about has been the you know, the service to sales handoff, right? If it's broken and can't really be fixed, or it's too much money to fix, we introduce them to sales. Your philosophy is a little different, and I really want to go into that. Was why is the sales to service handoff so important?
Well, it's mutual. Sales to service is equally important as it is for service to sales. As you mentioned, if a vehicle is broken, we need to get them in. We need to get that connection going too. But it's the loyalty element that we build through our sales departments by that introduction of service. Every GM and every sales manager, every fixed ops manager here, listen to this in automotive, knows how important it is, but we don't push it. We don't hold anybody accountable to it. So the one thing I have worked on down at that store with, you know, Brian Kramer, who's now over at AccuTrade running that with cars.com, we made the decision, this was 18, that we're no longer buying vehicles from the auction because of the crazy pricing, all the, you know, damages that were hidden. So we had to find another way to acquire inventory. And we looked at different solutions and looked for ways to do it. We did some marketing piece, some vehicle buybacks, some equity mining tools. And, you know, we were getting okay results, but it wasn't sufficient enough to be able to manage the vehicle demand from our used car department. So we had to do stuff a little bit different. And we looked at it as the biggest opportunity for inventory vehicles we need that know we're going to turn in a very fast cycle period with good gross profits, as well as build loyalty. And that was all done through the process I want to run through, which was very easy, very simple concept, but it comes down to execution.
Okay.
So the process looks like this. You have the data better than anyone else, so you don't need to pay anybody else for it. You have the data. it comes down to the communication of your guests who are already coming in. So the guest is coming in for service tomorrow. We should be reaching out to them today. And it's not the word track in terms of that reach out of, hey, if I could get you in a new car, lower your payment a couple dollars here or there, keep it the same or less, would you be interested? Everybody's been doing that for years. It has to be direct and to the point. Hey, do you still own your make, model, vehicle? We already know the answer because they're going to say yes because they're coming in for service, but they don't know that. They say yes. Hey, great news. We're looking for vehicles like yours. We would love the opportunity to purchase them from you at or potentially above market conditions. Would you be interested in selling it to us? And then you're filtering down to people who are, yeah, I'm open to it, or versus people are like, nope, I love my car, I'm good, I don't need to worry about it. So when you look at it from service, on an average store, let's say they're riding 100 ROs a day, 100 ROs a day coming in tomorrow for service. If you reach out to that 100, you're going to get about 40 responses of people that say, yeah, I'm interested.
Okay.
Now it comes down to what happens when you get them in store. And this is really like the caveat piece. The communication is the one piece. The second piece is when they come in. A lot of people will go right to just the, you know, say, hey, would you be interested in upgrading? No, you have to like pause and hit the timeout and continue on the funnel path you were on when you had them on the phone, which is, hey, all right, let's take a look at your car. We're going to walk around it together like you do your MPI inspection at the same time. You work with the advisor, dedicated salesperson, and the customer, you walk around it as the MPI together and collaborate. Oh, okay, there's a little scratch here, then here. Hey, do you want us to get a body shop quote on this while you're here too? No, I'm thinking about selling it to you guys. So let's not worry about that. Let's just do the service offered. And from there, we sit there and bring it in and do the evaluation with the guest. And service takes the vehicle, go gets it into the shop, and then we go through the trade process. You know, we take the pictures on the MPI so our used car managers can put the number on it. We know the details of the car. They service with us. We know what's been declined. We can look at that. We see what they're coming in for service, so we can look at that element to it as well in terms of providing a value. Then from there, we're simply go back to the guest. All right, he's going to get the value. He's going to bring it out in a minute. My next question is, hey, if we come to terms, we can buy it today from you, right? Because I know he has three or four people that are interested in vehicles just like yours. So with that being said, if we can come to an agreement on number, you'll sell it to us today, right? Yeah, okay, absolutely. Well, perfect. And here's the big question that when I talk to a lot of the stores that are implementing this plan, this is the question they have to remember to ask. And it sounds a little cheesy, but it works every time, is, since we're going to buy your car today, do you want to go ahead and have the shuttle driver plan to drive you home, or would you like me to call you an Uber? Just go for it right there. And they're going to stare at you and look in the face and be like, what are you talking about? I need another car. Perfect. Let that be the segue point. That is the pivot switch position right then and there. Now you're going into it. As soon as they say, well, no, I would have to have another car. Okay, great. Hey, I understand. What do you like best about your car now? What would you change? The traditional sales sequence and process. And say, hey, well, since they have the value now, that's the hardest part of the process. Let me show you a couple of new ones. And then this will be really simple and expedited since we already have the trade part of it done. And a lot of times customers already, yeah, okay, makes sense. Their car is in service. What else are they going to do? Sit there and watch Netflix or eat some stale popcorn out of your service department.
Right.
They could be doing something with their time that is growing them knowledge and providing them awareness to it. So that is the drawn out sequence of how everything works. And now the very exciting thing that I'm excited about at NADA is that initial step of outreach. We are automating that within Connect AI. So we are utilizing AI to reach out to all of your scheduled service appointments for the next day automatically via SMS, asking the question, see, do they own it? Would you be interested in selling it? Because we need it. And pre-setting appointments for those appraisals out of your service department the next day. So you, Mr. Dealer, are walking into your store with potentially, based upon how many ROs, 10 to 40 to even more people coming in that are interested in getting a trade value while they're going to be there for service.
Wow. So I worked at a dealership that did not even close to this, but we had a salesperson that would just stand in the drive and had a list of our appointments and then would just talk to the customer. And they probably, out of 120 ROs, they probably talked to one or two customers and sold maybe one, right? So I guess my other question would be, should a dealership, whether, and actually, let me back up a little bit. Can this work in RV and power sports too, you think?
I think this works everything, everywhere from RV power sports to, you know, heavy equipment. This process could work everywhere because the same issue with the service process is the same issue everywhere. Time spent, the appointments, the wait times, etc. But also it's the education. You know, we as an industry have let other people into the house per se, because we have avoided providing a value for so long. Now the guests are educated knowing that, hey, if you don't give me a number for my car, I can go to three places right now online that will. So you have to be more transparent. And going back to what you talked about earlier, you have to treat them as a guest and as a loyal guest at that, because they're there for service. You have to provide them. So we looked at success though on this, is and how we measured this is the percent. So we would look at, you know, out of 100 ROs from yesterday, let's say 50 of those were customer pay. So we're going to look at that. Our goal should be to sell two cars off of that, or 4 to 5% close rate of customer pay ROs. That should be your target and bogey every month, from CPRO count to that 4.5 to 5% close rate of those. That is your production you should be from a sales element of the process. But you should be also able to acquire additional 4 to 5% of vehicles through that process as well.
So should the dealership, whether it's RV, power sports, or auto, have a written process of how this is going to work, like map it out?
100%. That's the only way any process works. You know, the only way to learn how to take the tires off a car and, you know, torque them down the right way is you learn through experience, and you learn through having a written diagram or process to it. So it is a map to it. I have it. If anybody's listening and wants to reach out, you can send me a message on LinkedIn or Facebook, or I'll be at NADA. Reach out to me. I have the process built, drawn out from mapping, and can help your team strategize this plan and make it actionable too.
Wow. I love that. So when you went into the numbers of the 4 to 5% close, that's pretty big. I wouldn't have thought it would have been that big, but I got to think that if you're touching, let's say it's 100 cars coming in per day and you're touching 20 of those people, right? And only your closing is 4 to 5, right? Mm-hmm. But you also gave a lot of data and a lot of information to those customers that didn't buy today, right? That they went home to and said, you know what? I would like the same vehicle, but with different technology that Jared was talking about a few weeks ago. What is the percentage of those customers calling you back, right? And saying, hey, I was in, this is the appraisal I got that day. You know, is the appraisal the same? And I really want to get the newer model. How does that work? Right.
Yeah. That 4.5 to 5%. I mean, after 90 days running, that's what you start seeing all day, every day, because the guest who was in for service 60 days ago, come, you know, has a situation occur, needs to get a new vehicle, they're coming back and reaching back out. So that reach out point from those guests who have been in but didn't buy or didn't sell, that continues to drive that momentum for that 4 to 5 to become closer to that 8 to 10% as well. Wow. So there's quite a bit of opportunity. you know, great story, and I'm a story guy. I'm a storyteller at heart behind it. But situation comes in, and you would never think to talk to this guest if you were looking at an equity tool, because they would have said, don't talk to him because he's got negative equity. He's not an alert. He's not a hot prospect. Don't waste your time with him. But a, you know, guest had run through the sequence. He was driving a one-year-old vehicle, and that one-year-old vehicle had 10,000 miles, so it was second service. And he comes in. He goes, yeah, I need to get a value for it. Let's go. Gets a value for the vehicle. Everything's good to go. And he's like, I owe 21 and you're telling me it's worth, you know, 16. I have $5,000 net of equity. He goes, no problem. I don't care. I have to. My wife's pregnant with our third kid. I need something with third row seats. Can you get me out of this thing and into something with third row? Because my wife is 7 months pregnant.
Oh, wow.
So he comes in, pulls out $3,500 in cash to put down to offset negative equity to help him get into a new vehicle, because it's not a situation of a, you know, want to. This is a situation of must do, that he has to do something. They have to do this with three kids. Can't fit them all in a Camry or a Corolla. I have to move into a Highlander or Sienna size vehicle. And sure enough, he came in, his payment went up $250 a month. He came out of pocket with $3,500, and he's out with it, happy as can be. But if we look at what we've been trained as an industry to do, we've been trained to avoid that guest because we don't want a negative conversation, because we feel like it's our fault that he has $5,000 negative equity. You know, his negative equity is what he owns. Regardless of where he purchased from, including us, that was his decision at that time when he bought that vehicle. So we can't be closed loop minded into that conversation of where the guest is. All we can do is reach out, communicate, provide options and data, and let them know their options. From there, it's up to them to make the decision of what path they want to take. We can only be the guide. We can't be the one pulling them down the path, because right, we have to make it their idea.
Right. And then that gets rid of the buyer's remorse, or you sold me something I didn't want, right? All those things go away. People buy from people they know, love, and trust. So what you were setting up for was that relationship that they're not going to get anywhere else. So while you were doing this process, did you reach the goal that you were looking to get, where you didn't want to go to, you know, buying these wholesale vehicles someplace else and getting all the damage and all that other stuff? Did you reach your goal?
That store has not purchased a vehicle at auction since 2018.
Wow.
You know, we're, even with the inventory crisis, the inventory shortage, you know, through May of last year when I had departed, we were not buying anything from the auction, and 100% of acquisitions of pre-owned inventory was from sales, trade-ins, service purchases, and some off-the-street purchases as well. And that's how we were filling our pipeline of a used car operation that was selling about 250 to 300 cars a month. You know, that's where we were getting the inventory from. But the beauty of this, though, as well, is the ability to be self-sufficient, not relying on anyone else. And if you have a Toyota Camry that's a 2020 with 10,000 miles, and then you can go buy it at the auction, I would rather give the guest who's loyal to the store, that's coming in for service, know you're going to continue to earn their service business. I'd rather give them $1,000 or $2,000 more for that vehicle right here, right now, than buy it at the auction for $1,000 or $2,000 less expensive, because I can see it, touch it, feel it. I know my recon right now. Mm-hmm. But also I'm building the loyalty. When then you have transport fees and auction fees and everything else, it balances out. But it comes down to, I can turn something faster that I can look, touch, feel, smell, versus something I'm waiting to get in. And now we're finding all these you know, mysteries in the back end of the vehicle that we have to wait on parts, that we have to wait on this for a recall. And it's delaying the time of that vehicle to actually be frontline ready, which is going to affect your churn rate for your used vehicles. You're going to potentially misprice that vehicle out of the gate because you don't know, and you're just missing gross opportunities. Not saying you might not have to supplement still a bit, but if, with a defined and detailed process like this, this can help reduce the need to go purchase 50 or 60% of your inventory from auction.
I love that. So that's what we would call in Vegas a win-win-win, right? Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Okay. Yeah. While you were at the dealership, did you guys market this? Did you do commercials on it? Was it in paper or was it just something you just did?
It was something we did initially. And then as part of it, we incorporated this into our digital retail process. So we were big digital retail heavy when that was the boom in 16 before COVID hit. We were already bought into it. So we made it as part of that process and sequence. So we could bring people in that were interested into getting that evaluation beforehand through digital retail. And what that found to be is we were able to track their journey through that because they come in to get a trade evaluation, but then you see they're going and looking at inventory, selecting inventory, playing with payments and all these different components. They're putting themselves in the market without us having to do anything. So
that's awesome.
No, it was great. And the results were there. I mean, that store is still doing a phenomenal job and gives the ability to, how do we do this on a higher capacity? Because they have a team, you know, they have a dedicated sales manager that's, you know, handling the trade evaluations as well as working numbers and handling TOs for this team of people who are, you know, working the service drive. Then they have a team of 7-8 people, dedicated sales representatives, that all they do are working with these guests that are coming in for appraisals and the follow-up ones from the people who were interested that had to go review some things still. You know, in essence, it's a silo structure team that this is their only focus.
I love it. So we're right up against the time, Jared. So before we end the show, I want to get your perspective of the three takeaways from this episode in your mind, that whether it's a service manager, a GM, an owner, whether it's RV, power sports, whatever, can take away from this episode in your mind.
Number one, be open to change. Change, and I know it's scary at times. Change is scary, but change with a drawn out mapped process can be very successful and very rewarding. So embrace the change and embrace the openness and willingness to change. Second thing, be unique and be yourself. Do something to solve a need you have, whether it be inventory, whether it be parts, whatnot. Find a strategy and build a strategy together to fix your needs, and then see how that fix and change can be applied to your entire business structure. And then number three is human capital and AI. We know human resources, people, they're going to continue to be hard to find here in the next 18 to 24 months. Look at how much of this could be done through automation of a company like mine. I'll throw a shameless plug or Connect AI out. Something with a piece like this, so whatever the situation may be. But look at the utilization of that. And as a, not a takeover, but as a backstop to support your current staff and not overwork them and take some of the redundancy off their plate so their quality of life and work-life balance can improve. And overall, provide your guests better experiences while they're at the store.
Love those, Jared. If you want to deliver a legendary customer experience that keeps the customer coming back to you and encouraging them to invite their friends and their family into your establishment, then you've got the gold standard customer service vision. Do you want a more cohesive team that delivers a higher level customer service that will result in more revenue for your dealership? We provide the tools, knowledge, training needed to unlock that potential of your dealership. For more information on this topic and others, or to submit a question or to be a guest on the show, feel free to send me an email at csmith@nationalautocare.com. Jared, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you. Thank you so much for being a part of this episode. And I'll end with my last question, like I ask every guest. Will you please come back?
I would love to. And I would love to do this, and we'll change it up. I think we need to do this in person.
Oh, that sounds good.
So, no, I'd love to come out, come back, and do some both live in person with you and the National Auto Care team, and continue to help dealers grow and develop a plan for success.
Well, thank you for your time, Jared.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for watching and listening to National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with Corey Smith, powered by Pasha. Be sure to watch and listen to the next episode on the 5th and 20th of every month.